You don't have to look too hard to find political bombast, ideologues on either side of the aisle blasting those on the other side. For my next guest, though, what's missing in political discourse and policymaking today is political moderation. Mark Hetherington is a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. And Mark, we've heard so much about how there's no room for moderates in elected office anymore. Is that concern overblown, do you think, or are we really seeing fewer moderates in public office?
Oh, it is very real. You know, if we went back 3 or 4 decades, you would find lots and lots of members of Congress that stacked up in the middle. In fact, you would find many Democrats who would have been ideologically better fits in the Republican Party and many Republicans who would have been ideologically better fits in the Democratic Party. But over the last 40 years, gradually and then quickly, we started to see a complete separation of the parties. And now, not only are all of the partisans better ideological fits in their own party, for the most part, they're far, far apart. The middle is a vast wasteland between two partisan camps.
What do you think is responsible for that quickening of that trend over the last several years?
There are a lot of different possibilities for this. You know, one of them is the media environment that we live in these days. It doesn't really champion, you know, moderation. You know, people with the most extreme voices, they're the ones that seem to get all the coverage. Another thing that I think is very important is the rise of primary elections. Back when we used to have a lot of moderates in the legislature and Congress and the House of Representatives, the Senate, we didn't, you know, really rely on primary elections very much to make our decisions about who is going to run. But think about who votes in the primaries. People who vote in the primaries, these are not normal people. You know, these are ideologues. And as a result, they're going to choose people who are like them, who are more ideological than in the center. And then finally, you have this sort of last piece, which is who decides to run for office. And let's say you're a moderate person who, you know, wants to do public service, and you take a look at the political environment in Washington and you think, I don't have anything in common with those people. I'm just not going to get involved.
Do you think that in some ways this is just sort of people settling in with the political party that they are most closely aligned with?
Well, that's, I think, the thing that, you know, is always, you know, the thing that causes people to be attracted to one political party or another. You know, are these the people who are like me? But, you know, I think the biggest change, you know, that's been taking place is this divide that we see between the rural parts of the country and the urban parts of the country. You know, we often talk about red states and blue states, but that's not quite right. You know, I'm from Pennsylvania, and, you know, Pennsylvania is a blue state as it relates to Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, but as James Carville said, it's Alabama in between. And it's a situation where people rarely have contact with one another. So with that in mind, you know, this lack of cross-pollination is really giving us problems.
When you think about what kind of impacts this might have on policymaking, the obvious one seems to be that there might not be much room for compromise if you don't have moderates in either party. You just have people in both camps more on the extremes. Are there other potential impacts as well in addition to the, you know, sort of lack of ability to compromise on things?
There are. I would say, though, compromise is the biggest, most important one. And one of the developments that we see in American politics as we've developed this sort of urban-rural divide is that people on one side, this polarization in Washington has led to people on one side really deeply disliking those on the other side. So, you know, if you're a Democrat, you really these days, according to the survey evidence, really hate the Republicans in a way that you have never before, and vice versa. You know, you think about a situation where you really dislike, you really hate somebody. Think about the types of things that you won't do with that person. You're not going to listen to them. Obviously, you're not going to compromise with them if you're not going to listen to them. Do you think you're going to give them any credit if something goes well? If anything goes bad, even if it's not his fault, are you going to blame him for it? Absolutely. So it's very difficult for the system to have any accountability, any responsibility.
Yeah, it just kind of sounds like a recipe for a lot of what we've seen in Washington recently, which is gridlock.
And that's the bottom line. You know, if you want government to solve problems, this is not your time. And I should add, you know, there's actually a precursor to this in American history. That is where we were similarly partisan in Washington and where our voters were similarly partisan in their voting behavior. The only other time in American history that we've had that was in the late 1800s. And remember the presidents that were president in the late 1800s? You probably don't remember them.
I was going to say, most people probably don't remember them.
That's right, because they didn't do anything. They didn't accomplish anything. They were people like Rutherford B. Hayes and James Garfield and Chester Arthur and Grover Cleveland. These guys had great facial hair and great first names, but they didn't really accomplish very much of anything. And that's, I fear, what we're getting back to.
Do you think that given this polarization, that there is still some kind of space in the middle for either an independent group or some kind of people to come together and say, look, we've got to do something differently. What we're doing isn't working. Let's try to find some common ground here.
Boy, I would love to say yes. But here's the problem. These days, the political system is so organized around parties. You know, the idea of there being somebody who is from outside of that system, there's just no space for that type of a leader. What I think is going to be necessary is a new class, a new generation of political leaders who take the reins of power within the parties, work within the parties, but try to make the parties work differently than trying to settle scores and to gain whatever advantages they can gain, and instead start to put a little bit more focus, at least, on the country and you know what the nation as a whole might benefit from.
Mark Hetherington is a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. Mark, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.